Okay, this is board time continued, part two at 2:13.
All right. We're continuing on accessory dwelling units. We introduced that last week, and I'm looking to see where it is in the packet here. There it is.
And before we start that, if there's material that I would like to have that is not included in the packet, this indicates that so you and Peter took the existing ADU ordinance and went through and made proposed changes. You make a reference early on here. That some changes were made based on proposed elements to the D board and the Planning Commission recommendations. I would ask that we postpone this for a week and ask staff to get us from the D board meeting their comments, their specific comments, and from the Planning Commission, just the page that shows what the Planning Commission recommendations were for the ADUs, because I don't remember seeing a Planning Commission report on that. I don't doubt it exists, but I'd like to have the backup documents so I can see what their comments were, because what's missing from this to me is what our intent is. What are we trying to accomplish with this? And I know at one point it says we want more dwelling units, but it isn't just if there is a need for that. We know rentals are in high demand, which means they're very expensive. But where do we want to put them? Because I think this expands accessory dwelling units to rural, some of the rural zones. And I'd like to get the flavor of what D board thought we should do and what the Planning Commission recommendation is, and digest that as I look at what these proposed changes are.
Okay. What this proposes is to extend to the rural citizens the same freedom that the citizens inside the urban growth boundary have when it comes to accessory dwelling units. It's in response to a request from the Building Industry Association, BIA, and in response to the Aging Commission headed by Bill Ritchie that we had as a joint meeting earlier this year. Chris, can you inform us as to what the most expedient path forward would include?
Well, this will have to take the effect of an ordinance, so it'll have to be, and because it affects our zoning code, it'll have to go through the planning, we'll schedule it for the Planning Commission. Upon recommendation from the Planning Commission, we'll schedule a public hearing for the board and get input from the public, and we'll in that time we'll file a SEPA checklist to just to show that we have reviewed this in compliance with the Environmental Policy Act, and then we will work through that process, get you to a public hearing, at which time the public can testify and offer comments, and the board will see a final a version of this and take action, presumably.
Okay. So all of that public process includes feedback from the staff. It includes the formal steps necessary in order to nail down the details in order for, and then it brings us back to us as a specific code amendment, and then we at that point have the freedom to be able to fine-tune it if necessary and approve it or approve it as amended.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So the it's really quite simple, and that is just simply extend to the rural citizens what is already available inside the urban growth boundary.
Okay. And I know that's your opinion, and that's Peter Selleman's opinion. All I'm asking for is to get the information of whatever deed board or BIA, how did they request it? The Aging Commission, what did they request? So that when I review this and say, yes, I agree, let's move this forward into preparation for a suggested ordinance, that's all there.
Okay. That's why we introduced it last week, so we'd have a week
but
to
pursue that. But those were never, aren't included in here.
Nothing has changed here. That was introduced last week, so we'd all have opportunity to be able to investigate whatever we need to investigate.
So you're taking a hard line. Are we going to have a contest here? Is that what's going on? All I'm asking is for reasonable information, reasonable from the sources.
Mr. Chair?
Yes,
Mike,
sir.
I'm looking at this here, and it looks like you're referring this for urban area. The new language, accessory dwelling units may be allowed in all urban residential districts and rural districts. It's on the first page.
So the B1 replaces this statement with this statement.
So this is urban, not rural.
Well, that's what this just simply restates up here, because it's already available in the urban area. And what it's doing is adding and rural districts.
Well,
that's
the change. Would this just remain then?
Well, this, instead of just simply amending this statement, it replaces that statement with a more concise statement, because it itemizes things that are no longer relevant.
I see. It does down here.
Yeah. It just adds the simplicity.
So what we're looking at is moving this to a work session?
It's moving it to a planning commission. In other words, Peter, you did the work on this. You want to elaborate on that?
Clarity for the benefit of all the councilors.
Yeah.
The way I understand this is something that came to the board for direction, rather than coming through staff to the board for direction. So if this was staff initiated, planning staff would do their process, go through DEEV and the Planning Commission, and then bring it to the board, maybe have a work session prior to that. Since this is something that came from the BIA to the board and from the Commission on Aging to the board just wanted to formalize a process, and what you're asking for in this is actually if you agree with the concept of extending this to the urban areas or the unincorporated areas, the direction we're asking for here is that you agree, and you do want staff to fully evaluate it. Mm-hmm. You do want DEEV to evaluate it and the Planning Commission, and then come back to you with a formal package or amendment recommendations to make it formal. So this is just a pre-decision, kind of like having a work session. Do you want this concept to go forward at all for full evaluation or not? This is not a decision on each of the technicalities of the draft ordinance, which the draft ordinance, most of that was actually prepared by planning staff, Jose and the rest of planning staff. Some of it was amended by myself. That's part of a discussion I've been having with them prior to bringing it to you. So this is just a work in progress, an example. So
yeah, Peter?
And I just want to say, I think this is a vital safety issue, because there are already accessory dwelling units out in the rural areas. Often what we see when we go around the county is people build an ag building because they don't need permits. Next time we roll around, people are living in it. And so in the rural areas, they're basically building stuff, moving people into it without going through the code and making sure that it's safe. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen some ones that people are living in, and
Well, we've even seen businesses going to those pole buildings. That's not the intent of this at all.
It's happening, and so if you have a method to do it legally,
well, that's our intent.
That's
sure.
A good step.
Yeah.
Well, Peter, I doubt, first of all, your technicality about that they already exist doesn't have anything to do with me in my preparation for review of a document that will be going forward, that is actually a board-generated document instead of you talking to staff saying we need an ADU and then the staff looking at what the issues are. Mm-hmm. I dare say that I have more on-the-ground experience about land use planning and ADUs probably than anybody else in this room, except maybe you. And I know what the pitfalls are. I know what the pitfalls can be. I know what the impacts can be. And I want to be careful as I go forward. And why? Not because I'm trying to drag the question down, because I have the experience to know what can go wrong with these things. And I want to know what DEEB asked for, what BIA asked for, so I can put it all together and make an intelligent decision about if I think we should move forward with it. It's a reasonable request.
And I think, Mr. Chair, I think that's the same thing I'm saying too, is that we direct it toward a work session and then to the Planning Commission, or to the Planning Commission and then back here. But I'm not sure. I think it would be best if it came to a work session here and then to the Planning Commission.
Why don't we do this? Rather than specify a particular code here, the idea here is to extend the general direction and put it in the pipeline. And so the request can just simply be this. In fact, I'll make this a motion here. Direct the county manager to work with staff to extend to the rural citizens the same freedom for citizens to have ADUs as what's already available inside the urban growth boundary. As for the specifics and the details, this puts it in the pipeline. This has already been more than 6 months in the pipeline. And all this does is say, put it in the pipeline in a way now that already says, pursue it, prepare it, so we can get it done and vote on the amendment to the ordinance. And I just don't want it to drag on longer than process than necessary. All this does is say, follow the process, extend the concept, put it out there, bring it back. It includes whatever processes is necessary in order to get it done as expediently as possible. The goal here, and I would also say here, and return the proposal to the BOCC for action by the end of the year. Okay? Is that possible, Chris?
That's ambitious.
Well, the only issue is the board schedule is going to be the largest impediment, because November and December, this board's particularly busy with end-of-the-year projects, including the budget.
We have four hearings on the 8th of December, for example.
I'm good with that. I would rather get this done. Why would we languish and just extend it and say, well, we're going to be busy? Well, of course, this is part of the good busy, because it extends freedom to citizens that are right now abridged.
You're assuming, you want us to assume out of the chute that adopting the ADU ordinance that is meant for urban areas, that it's entirely appropriate for rural areas. I don't think that's a question that we've answered yet. Or a modification of it for the rural areas. Those are the big questions, and that's why more understanding of what those conversations that had been, and you, when you say this has been languishing for 6 months, this is the first time I've ever seen it. Last week was the first time I've seen it, and I've been here 12 months.
So, I think we're saying the same thing. What you're saying here is a director manager to take this code here to be evaluated by DEEB and the Planning Commission. I think that's the same thing I said.
It is. If you want to make that motion, I'm fine with that. Because
Same thing. Yeah, same thing.
Okay. All right.
So we're not skipping process.
But not the details of this instrument. Is it an appropriate extension into rural areas?
It's
what will its impacts be?
Yeah, we don't know until we talk about it. And that's, and that's what this does. Mm-hmm. It takes it to the DEEB Planning Commission, back to the Board of Councilors. Mm-hmm. And that's why I understand. We're saying the same thing. Different ways, so yeah. I'll second that motion.
Well, actually, why don't you make, because you have, guess if you're good with it the way it's worded, then you can make that motion.
I'll make the motion to direct the county manager to have these proposed changes evaluated by DEEB, Planning Commission, and then returned to the Board of County Councilors, hopefully by the end of the year.
Action by the end of the word, as worded there. I second that motion. The idea here is for us to be able to put something in the pipeline and
start.
let all the advisory board work on it, let the planning commission work on it, and then bring it back to us. And then we have specifics in front of us with all that background already provided, and then we can decide whether or not it's appropriate. You know, we determine that when all that work is done and we can vote. So that is the process. So I don't want to somehow, I mean, you've been working for 6 months behind the scenes just simply with staff to try to get to this point. I want to be able to launch the ship and at least get to the point where we can say yes or no.
It might sink along the way, but I'm willing to listen.
They might come back and say, no way. Well, we have a chance. This isn't committing to do it.
Yeah.
This is committing to provide the option, and we can vote on it then.
So
I'll second that motion if I haven't already.
That's good.
Will you restate the motion?
It's as worded.
Pretty much. Direct the county manager to have these proposed changes evaluated by DEEB and the Planning Commission and returned to the Board of Clark County Council.
That presumes that we agree to have the county manager put forward these that I don't have a perspective on, so I can't support that.
Well, you did it along the way.
To give me time to do homework that wasn't included in the packet so that I can be informed when I make a decision.
You could go to the DEEB board meeting, or you could go to the Planning Commission meeting before it comes back to our meeting.
Well, I want to know where it came from, who was recommending it, why. I just need to have a scope on it because these things are not as benign as they seem. So I want to make sure I'm recommending wording that I have it in perspective and would agree with it.
Do you want to reword it?
I would say we're good with it.
I don't think we could sit and reword it now, but thank you, Tom.
All right. Any more discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'm saying no at this time.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. And there's plenty of opportunity between now and the time that comes back to the board for us to be able to do any research we want, sit in any of the meetings, talk to citizens, talk to the VIA, talk to the agent commission. Okay. New business. Who wants to go first?
None to add today. Thank you.
Okay. You got anything?
I'm not going to pass. I want to propose the idea of drafting a resolution to address the fee holiday that we have. For example, we have that fee holiday, or it's probably the wrong term.
Fee waiver.
A fee waiver on the transportation impact fees going on right now. And here a while back, we had people come from Safeway and Fred Myers.
I don't have a copy of that. Is there anybody
is there another
have an
copy?
Extra one?
Thank you, Peter.
I'm just throwing, it says here draft all over it.
Just introducing
it. So the intent of this draft and the foregoing resolution is to address the concerns of the developers, for example, Fred Myers, Safeway, and it was one of the development engineers, and he came to me and said the same thing that the meeting that we had with large builders was that we're afraid to start for fear that we'll get started along the way, invest several thousands of dollars, and then you would come along and then pull the plug on the fee holiday. And I said, well, what do you need? And he said, and then Randy Print came back and he gave me a time frame of starting the project to construction. And what they're trying to do is get in that queue and be reassured if they start that we won't pull the plug on it when they're just short of getting to the point where they have to pay to be invested. And so, and I want to go back and review this, because I think Randy was saying he needed about 300 days. So when we decide to forego or to stop that transportation impact fee, that we come to a hearing, make that decision, and when we make that decision, that they have 300 days and it's cut off. That way they know that when they start next week, that 2 weeks down the way or months down the road, we don't say, oh, the fee waiver's gone.
300 days from
360.
From the time that we have our hearing.
They're vested? From the time they're vested in the project?
No, from the time that we have the hearing and said, we're pulling the plug. We're pulling the fee waiver off the board right here, and you have 300 days and it's gone.
I see.
In comparison to that, we go in there, we have a hearing, we pull the plug on it, and some guy's halfway through his process, yeah, and he loses out.
You know, I agree, and people have come to me with this same concern. Mm-hmm. I brought this up at a board meeting about 3 months ago, and the response I got from you and Mr. Medore was that there is nothing on the horizon for changing the fee waiver program.
Okay.
There's no discussion of it. There's no thought of it. There's no... So is this actually your suggestion? Because that did not cure the uncertainty. Mm-hmm. Developers need certainty.
Yeah, and that's what we're looking for.
You know, they can't worry about if we're midstream on mm-hmm. a program and all of a sudden we're going to pull the plug on it,
yes,
and they're in the middle of something, because financially, if you're getting a fee waiver, you're calculating all that savings mm-hmm. into your project and whether or not it's financially
yeah.
feasible.
I want to go back and review the actual days recommended by Randy Prince to see if it was a 300-day or 280-day or 320-day.
Well,
the intent is still
though,
the same.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And this is just a draft. In fact, I'm open for other drafts or additions to this draft. I just want to start the conversation now, because I met with those people several months ago.
Yes.
And so I think that we probably should get this done and give them some certainty.
Mm-hmm. And that certainty is critical.
I think it is. I think it is, because they were actually saying, you know, we'd like to start another store. And we're afraid if we get started that you'll change your mind and pull it off the table.
So mm-hmm. we're not... This is just on the table for discussion right
yes.
now, correct?
Yep. We're all going to work on drafting.
Yeah, and the other part of this that I think we should start considering is this. We do know there is a housing crisis. We do know this is nobody's fault. We're coming out of a recession. We've had terrible economics. We've had worse economics in Clark County. What happened is... it affected housing of every kind, mm-hmm. and it certainly began to affect multifamily housing. And because so many people are having a hard time because of the cost to purchase a house. But rent is so high, they're having a hard time accumulating the funds to become a homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, they have to borrow from parents or, others. Yeah, I understand.
A few times, yeah.
I think we should look at if there's any part of a fee waiver program that we could shift to multifamily housing. And I know one of the arguments is, well, yeah, but people don't go to work there every day forever. Well, that's true. But we have lumber purchases. We have carpenters. We have electricians. We have every kind of specialist. We have engineers. We have all kinds of people that are good family wage jobs. And we can't use government to equalize so that we have so many multifamily that everybody has a place to live. I don't think that's the role for government, but if we have a tool we can use to just give multifamily a nudge to take the pressure off so many people in our community.
And one of the things, one of the things that we were concerned about was the high density housing in rural areas, not in the city limits.
Yeah.
Truly would support something like that that's up against the city limits. It's just a matter of annexation. But I think to allow high density housing in the rural area before the infrastructure is put in, we could create a problem. But definitely want to look at it. And rightfully so, then.
Well, we'd be better off to do that than to do a trillion ADUs.
Could be.
I'd like to be able to just address the idea here. This is not a incentive program to somehow make us more of a bedroom community of Portland. This is not this is not intended to do anything except provide the most business-friendly environment for job creators, for entrepreneurs, for businesses to choose Clark County so that Clark County can become more self-sufficient. It's an overall strategy to move away from the traditional direction that we were going of becoming more and more of a bedroom community where the people in our community need to drive across the bridge and work in Portland. Instead, this has resulted in so many businesses choosing to work here to provide the jobs here. And following that, people follow the jobs. We see Clark County is booming. I love their Scott Bailey's monthly report that shows that we are doing fabulous when it comes to job creation. These discussions have been part of the process when we considered the fee waiver program in the beginning. High-density housing puts the greatest demand on law enforcement, the greatest demand on our roads for traffic congestion, our parks, our schools, the water, everything is maximized. It says that's the expensive infrastructure we have to build. And instead, not only does our community get back to work with the citizens having local jobs, but also those businesses every month or every quarter, however often they pay their B&O taxes to the state, provide new wealth for everyone, including the revenue to the county here so that the tax burden upon everybody else can be reduced. So we're seeing that happen. That's why we have the metrics published on our website every month. And to extend tax or fees breaks or waivers completely to high-density housing is the exact opposite direction of that. I would say in comparison, though, our community development fund has never been as high as it is now. It's last time I looked, it was like $9 million, and usually it's hovered down to the maybe one or two or negative amount throughout the last 15 years or so. So we can reduce, hopefully we can reduce the cost for residential development, I do not suggest that we consider a structural change to a very, very successful program that has brought jobs and economic development to Clark County.
So, we were talking about my proposed draft. We were in agreement. I just wanted to make sure because we got kind of onto the next subject.
Well, so this is the time to consider it. So
I think we're in agreement that we're going to continue to work on the draft.
Well, I raised an issue that I think we should consider because we have influence over the unincorporated area. And you're very eager to subdivide lots out in the very rural areas. And there's some benefit to that, and there's some that makes some sense in some circumstances. I'm seeing a balance of housing, that we're not favoring single-family homeowners on 2 acres. And this doesn't have anything to do with a Portland philosophy or who lives or works where. Because I rented an apartment and went to work over at U.S. Bancorp because it was a big banking corporation that had opportunities. My loyalty is to our citizens and our responsibility. But when we can see our own citizens are suffering with really high rents, and if you don't see that a fee waiver or it has any justification, first of all, I don't think I agree with that, because I don't think we should be picking winners and losers. Multifamily is as legitimate a business as any business. So I don't want to pick winners and losers, but if there are other ways that we can mend that crunch or have a positive influence over it, I think it's our responsibility to do it.
As I see it, we would be doing it precisely that, picking winners by granting a fee waiver to multifamily, and by default we create losers for all of the rural citizens, because there are no multifamily out there and all the single family homes.
I want to read your thesis on that.
Peter?
Because I'm disbelieving.
We should be clear about something. The last 2 years, our building a multifamily has gone through the roof in this county. We have new ones out by Prairie High School. There's a new one being built up, off 179th off Ridgefield. There's a lot of multifamily going in. To what the developer's talking to you about, Tom, I think maybe this is a good time to sit there and kind of, to Jeannie's point too, what are reasonable fees that are sustainable for developers and reasonable? And part of when you guys did the fee waiver and you just took off the fees, that kind of left the fees that were unreasonable there, and maybe a good time to take a look at.
That's kind of what happened to it, because it's unreasonable and nobody wanted to compromise or study it.
Yeah.
Today, we're studying it and we're looking at changing it.
Yeah, I think it's a good time to do it and say, look at it across the board.
The same way that it would be a very dangerous thing for all the states to call a conference to change our United States Constitution, because because bad things can happen with that. I do not want to put on the table the idea of somehow taking very successful program that absolutely is more than sustainable. We've seen record highs in revenue from every area that has to do with that, and turning it into something that now we're going to make it non-sustainable and to something that wars against its original intent in the first place, which was to be a job-creating and business-friendly environment for Clark County, and very purposely so. So I welcome any conversation for alternative ideas, but I can tell you that there's the proposal before us is to provide more stability and predictability for a very successful program, not to make it potentially unsustainable. So with that, Chris, I have to ask the question, do we have the freedom to actually commit to provide that a notice to be able to for that in the future? Or can we just simply convey an intent to?
What the board can do, again, this was done, this will take the effect of, a resolution under the charter. Previously, I would have said it to you, you could do it by resolution, but since the charter has been passed and resolutions have no legal effect under the charter, it'll have to take the effect of some kind of an ordinance. But the reason I was looking sort of feverishly while everyone was speaking is I believe the board already discussed this issue. I'm not certain that there is language in the existing resolution that provides that even if the ordinance is rescinded or repealed, that all projects that have filed a fully complete application are already protected, in which case people who are, you've used the term in the pipeline, but people who are in that pipeline who have spent money to file an application are already protected. That they'll have protection even if it takes them a year and a half to get through development review, engineering, and construction. Those people would still be protected under this ordinance. The only people that would be left out are people who haven't filed an application, and even that group wouldn't be protected by the ordinance even if they came in on time, because mm-hmm. to be protected you have to file an application.
Well, Chris,
that
I think
means vesting.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
I think what they're more concerned about is that part of the planning and the engineering and the architectural work that starts before they come back to cut ground.
Yep.
So there's a lot of work and a lot of money invested.
I understand, but the ordinance protects them once they file the application.
Right, yeah. And that's what we're going to work it up to. That's
it does
that
now.
It could be less than, I know, but we don't know when they hire the architect to start drawing up the plans. We don't know that.
Right, but our existing ordinance protects them for 5 years. So if somebody comes in for site plan approval on a commercial project, they're protected for 5 years under our code.
They have to come in for that part. I'm talking about all the preparation and all the work before they come in.
Right.
And that they want to have some surety.
Well, the problem is it becomes very speculative. If you're going to, this will be the issue that you'll have to face. If you want to protect people who have done design work, and they said, I've thought about this project a lot, and I've spent a lot of time thinking about this project, and I want protection under your ordinance, even though I've never filed anything, because I've thought about it a bunch of different ways, it's going to be very difficult to say who fits within that protected class and who doesn't. Well, the existing ordinance would only apply to people who get to the application phase.
Right, so we don't have to address that portion of it.
Okay.
We just have to address that portion prior to that. So it could be a lot shorter than the 280 days or 300 days that he worked out a time frame for me, and I need to go back over and refine that time frame. Maybe take it to staff and say, staff, do you agree with these time frames?
It's
a draft.
I think what we're looking for is somebody who they may. Depending on how big the project is, there can be a lot of preliminary work done before they actually file an application.
It could be right to the point of purchasing property.
We'll draw the line somewhere, but I think the five-year vesting is a handsome promise.
Well, that's after they've invested,
after they're vested.
Yeah, we have talked about before that, all that work they do before that.
But we really don't want to get into a situation where we're waiving, like, transportation impact fees.
Well, that's this is coming out of that. It's coming out of that.
I know, but for somebody who isn't sure they're going to need them, and then somebody, so they say, okay, well, I want to reserve this capacity. But I haven't filed an application yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really from the point they're vested that
Here's an example. Before the fee waiver program was implemented, there was a previous version that was much more restrictive. Hardly anybody tried to cash in on it. And the thing that triggered that first need is that Chuck's Produce attempted to build a store, and they were told by staff it's going to cost you, I think it was $930,000 or $970,000 just for traffic impact fees, plus the other fees, plus permits and all of that. And they, before they spent any money on it, they could tell it was not going to pencil out, so they backed out and they said, forget it, we're not going to do it. There are a number of, I expect that was one business that came back later with another piece of property and said, maybe we can try again. This time, let's ask the commissioners if somehow they can make it pencil out, because it doesn't, and we'll get the same answer unless you do something. The commissioners cut it, I think, about in half for the traffic impact fees. They went in the right direction to some degree. What we don't know is all the other businesses that either didn't qualify because they didn't have 10 new full-time employees, or they didn't meet the other criteria, and they just went away without even asking, because they looked and said, how much does it cost? Forget it. I'm not even going to try. So certainly the investment of the time and the decision by those potential businesses to create new business facilities in Clark County, they're going to ask up front, should I even begin the process? Does it not pencil out right on its face? And so they, at that point, if they say, you know what, this is the time and this is the place, it makes sense, it's not going to get any better than this, let's go for it. And if they start through that process and they get to the point where they are ready to submit their plans because they've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in the development, and then we say, you know, the board says, well, we're just going to discontinue that. And then they realize they're stuck. No longer is it going to pencil out, and they just wasted hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they might proceed, but they might go away. That's a situation that this is, the intent is to solve. What it is not doing is extending some kind of a vesting or some kind of a application or something else. All it does is say, we're going to make sure that if this program is threatened for the future, we're going to give 360-day notice that says, you better get your work done. That gives them enough time to begin the process, to spend all their income, to be able to develop it, and then submit their plans. Once they submit it, they're vested, and they can get it done. This allows them the risk-free consideration so they can move forward before they submit it. That's a substantial investment, and they're trusting that main ingredient is going to be there when they submit. So it's just simply that all that is a heads up notice. We will consider this in the 360 days from now, so that they can have some certainty, expectation, know whether or not it pencils out or not, or doesn't pencil out in space.
I think we have agreement.
Okay. Still the question to you, Chris, on the draft. Do we have the freedom to build a 360-day notice into the consideration for the termination?
You can create an ordinance that does that, but you can't bind a future board.
That was my question.
Yeah.
So
you can, because if a future board repeals this ordinance, let's assume it's passed this year, mm-hmm. and a board midway through next year or the following year chooses to repeal the section, the 365-day notice provision, that resolution can be repealed by any future board.
Yeah.
And so this will act as a policy, it will act as guidance, but it's not binding on any future board.
Okay. So, in other words, we could pass it, and it would inform the board, hey, this is the reasoning behind it, this is the process that we've committed to, but we understand we cannot tie the hands of a future board, and they can decide whether or not they're going to do it anyway, or just simply say, you know, we're going to respect that because it makes sense. So we do have the freedom to pass it as proposed.
With those recognitions.
Yes,
with that recognition.
There's no guarantee.
Correct.
Right. Okay. All right. And I'm good with it.
I knew that. A long time ago, I knew that.
I mean, this only says, just let me make clear, because it sounds like you're ready to vote, but this is only in that same preliminary sense that this requires a whole public process.
Yes. And
we'll have to go through all that, as long as everybody knows that.
And it's an introduction, I guess, for next week, right?
I just brought forward a draft of idea.
Okay, I just...
That'll teach you.
And you almost talked me out of it. Okay. I'm done.
Oh, okay. Mark, do you have anything?
Councillor Stewart indicated regarding a previous subject on the ADUs. Here are the two documents that you were wanting to see, Councillor.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, from the aging report.
I don't know. Do you need a copy of it? And I have nothing more.
I've seen this somewhere.
Peter, you've got some other, is there something else that you suggest that we introduce?
If you wanted to introduce that other resolution you were talking about.
Executive really session. Nice, folks, as a courtesy, if we get the documents in advance.
I think that is executive session.
Not as a courtesy, practice. So which draft is this?
It's not being introduced right now. So...
is it going to be introduced like next week? Because, I mean, Tom, do you have a copy of it?
I have a copy of it, but I think it has to be dealt with in an executive session.
No, she's referred to this one.
Yeah, I think that's what he's talking about.
You have a copy of it.
I believe that has to be dealt with.
But we're not introducing that today.
I don't care. If my fellow counselors have a copy, I need a copy.
Peter just... Pass one around. Okay. Anything else?
I don't have anything.
Okay. Axel, got anything?
I'm good.
Okay. All right. I'm good. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I still move.
Are you going? You have to stay in public.
Oh, okay. To recess into executive session. Thank you, Chris.
For the purposes of potential litigation, and that we will return to a public meeting before you adjourn.
Okay. All right. Then you've just made the announcement. It's been where the recorder goes. You still recording?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. So we are going to recess into, is that the right term, Chris? Into executive session. We'll come back at what time?
An hour.
At the conclusion of the executive session.
Well, we didn't have a time.
Yeah, we have a time, so.
Well, I scheduled an hour, but it might be 30 minutes. Let's go for 30 minutes.
Okay. Say 30 minutes, and we can notify the public no more time's needed.
When we re-adjourn, we take any actions on anything.
No, we'll reconvene simply to adjourn.
I'm trying to give people a heads up.
I don't think there's anything on the agenda.
There's no more business.
Right, it would just be to go back into an open session to not take any action. Okay. All right. So
we're adjourned. Or we're recessing.
We don't need a motion for that, right?
No.
We just do it.
We just do it.
An executive session.
Okay. All right.